How good's Kevin? How's that coming all the way around the world to be a leader on camp here? I reckon that's pretty cool. How good are No Greater Sky? And I've got to keep going. How good are you guys? I reckon you're better than that. How good are you guys? Awesome. Hey, I got distracted today when I was preparing for today's talk, but I think that it's a good kind of distraction because, you see, I had in my head this idea of how tonight's talk would go, and I feel that as I was preparing tonight, sort of crossing the T's and dotting the I's, that God led me in a different direction, so I'm going to take a step of faith in that and give it a go. About 10 years ago, which is really strange because as I speak to you, I can picture this in my mind. I used to go to a place called Aries Inlet. Has anyone ever been to Aries Inlet? It's down past Geelong way. And one of my friends had a holiday house down there, or his parents did anyway, and they let us use it. And we'd go down there after summer camp, so sort of late Jan, early Feb, and we'd just go down and hang out for a week or so on the beach. Now, Aries Inlet is a bit different to Phillip Island. It's got some beaches that are a bit like the beach that you would have gone to today. But it's also got really steep cliffs. And you can walk out to the edge of the cliff, a bit higher than this is, walk out to the edge of the cliff and you can look around sort of 180 degrees and all you see is ocean. So there's no land on the other side, just ocean and sky for 180 degrees. And it's amazing. And what I used to love doing when I went down there is I'd love getting up early in the morning. Now, I know yesterday I said that I don't like getting up early in the morning, but this was worth it. I would get up really early in the morning and walk down to the edge of these cliffs and wait for the sunrise. And if you've never seen the sunrise, I reckon we should make it an elective camp activity if you've never actually watched a sunrise. It is an amazing thing. You get down there and everything is dark. And then slowly you start to be able to see things as your eyes adjust to the darkness and also as the world gets lighter. You start just being able to see more and more. So anyway, this one morning, I'd walked down to the cliffs and I was looking for the perfect space. I had my camera with me and I was going to watch the sunrise and I was going to take some photos and I was looking for the perfect space. And then I saw it. It was down a bit further onto the cliff, down out on a bit of a ledge, and it was just perfect. So I made my way down this ledge and I slid down a couple of meters onto this ledge and I stood there and thought, wow, this is amazing. Not only is it 180 degrees, but like there's water over there as well. And there's water over there as well. So pretty much everywhere of my peripheral vision, everything I could see was just water and sky. And then it hit me, this realization that everything I could see was water and sky, and that I just slid down 2 meters on a sandy cliff to get out to this ledge 20 meters above rocks and waves. And at that point, I had a choice to make. I could either panic, which was a very big temptation, I can tell you. I am down on this ledge. There is no way back. I'm stuck here. No one knows where I am. I'm going to die. Or I could say, no, I'm not going to panic. I came here for a purpose. I came here for a purpose today, and that was to sit here and watch the sunrise. And so that's what I decided to do. I sat there, and I watched the sunrise. And I was spending that time as well with God and I was singing some of my favorite songs. And remember, one of the songs that I was singing was, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. And I watched as the light got lighter and lighter and lighter. And sometimes if you've never watched a sunrise before, you can think, yeah, well, that's it. The sun's risen. I can see everything. But there's more than that, because a couple of minutes after it gets to the point where you think the sun has risen, or you think, you know, there's light somewhere, or maybe the sun rose over there and it's not there, all of a sudden, particularly over the ocean, this ball of light just rises on the horizon and it streams across the water all the way to you. And at that point, I'm there now. Wow. At that point, the singing stopped because it was just utter awe at this amazing thing. And this amazing thing that was sunrise, that happens every day, usually when we're in bed and not paying any attention to it. But on those occasions, and I hope that you guys get to have a few of those occasions in your life, it is an amazing thing. And it's just one amazing thing in life, I think, is a sunrise. Now, I don't know if it was God's provision, some type of miracle, but when I looked around, there was a tree root. I don't know why there was no tree, but there was a tree root sticking out the side of this cliff, and I was able to grab onto it and pull myself back up. I don't really care if it was a miracle or, you know, if God saw, you know, 50 years before that I was going to be stuck on that cliff face and I'd need a tree root to get myself out of the situation I'd put myself in. But what's important to me was the choice that I made earlier on. The choice that I made that even though I was in a situation, I was stuck, there was nothing I could do to get out of that situation. I chose to do what I'd gone there to do, to spend some time with God, to sing praises to God, and to watch the sunrise. The reason I tell that story is because we're going to look at a passage out of the Bible tonight from Isaiah chapter 6. And I think that my sunrise story, which is still one of the most special times, that special memories that I have in my life, I reckon that's a bit like what Isaiah felt like at this point in time. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Now, here's what I got distracted with. I was going to be talking to you tonight on the throne room of God, on this amazing vision that Isaiah had of God being in this throne room. But I got stuck on the first verse. In the year King Uzziah died. In the year King Uzziah died. Stuck on it. In the year King Uzziah died. And I started to think, why did he start that way? Why does this chapter start that way? And I kept on going to try and prepare what I was going to talk about. And I kept on getting, in the year King Uzziah died. And it was going through my head. And I started thinking, well, it's a very specific way of starting the chapter. It's not like saying, well, in the year 2005 or back in the 1980s or last summer or last spring or anything like that, in the year King Uzziah died. So I went and did what all good camp speakers do, and I Googled it. So Google, my friend. King Uzziah became king when he was only 16 years old, which I think is a pretty big responsibility to have as a 16-year-old. I talked last night about David and I said, don't wait till you're older. Well, King Uzziah was thrown into being a king when he was 16 years old. His reign lasted 52 years. Now, that is a huge chunk of time. So, when Isaiah was writing in the year King Uzziah died, it wasn't just a point in time like saying in the year 2001. This was a big changing point for the whole nation. Most of the people alive at that time would not have remembered another king apart from King Uzziah. This was a big changing point in time. And I think that's one of the reasons that Isaiah lists this as that year. It's a big point in time for Isaiah. And it's from this point in history that Isaiah's life radically changes from this vision. Everything he knows is changing through King Uzziah dying. And then he has this vision of the Lord. I'm going to ask for some audience participation tonight. And this question was what was coming into my mind. Why did Isaiah start this way? And a question and answer came into my mind. And the question was this: how many kings can there be? And the answer that came with it was there can only be one king. So I'm going to just mix it up a bit and throw that question out there a few times and see if you can come back with that answer. So I'm going to, when I ask that question, how many kings can there be? I'd love you guys to respond with there can only be one king. So let's try that out. How many kings can there be? There can only be one king. Let's try that again. How many kings can there be? There can only be one king. There can only be one king. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. Saw the Lord sitting on a throne. And it wasn't until King Uzziah died that Isaiah saw this vision. Let me just chat about this vision for a couple of minutes. Isaiah saw the Lord seated on a throne. Well, what does that mean? A throne means the Lord is the king. The throne, high and exalted. The king over all creation. Isaiah saw the Lord as the ruler of all creation. And he gives this vision of what this means. It says that the train of his robe filled the temple. Well, let me first talk about the temple. The temple in these times was it and a bit. It was where you went to meet God. In many ways, for lots of people, it was where God lived. It was like you go in the doors of the temple, and that's where God was. And at the time, particularly for Isaiah, that was it. The temple. The temple's for God. And Isaiah now has this vision of the train of God's robe filling the temple. Well, the train of God's robe might not mean much to us. But back in those days, there were two types of people. There were important people, and there were people who weren't important. And the more important you were, the longer your robe was. And it was sort of a competition of kings. If you were a really, really important king, you would have a really, really long robe. Because it said two things about you. If you were important, it probably meant you were rich, and that meant you could afford it. If you were important, then you had servants. So when you went to walk, they'd be there to pick up the train of your robe and they'd carry it. If you weren't rich, if you weren't important, you wouldn't have those servants to carry it. We see a vision of this today. We see this tradition that is carried on through many, many years. When you go to a wedding, you see the bride arrives in a dress with a ridiculously long train of the dress. You wouldn't see her going out and playing kryptonite ball in that. But she arrives, and the point of that is she's got bridesmaids and flower girls and mothers and who knows who else fixing this train up as she walks into the church. And the reason for that is that when the groom or the husband-to-be is standing there and is looking there and sees his bride-to-be, is a symbolism that this person is about to become the most important person in his life. That's where the symbolism comes from. So when Isaiah says that the train of God's robe fills the temple, he's not only saying that, hey, God's important, you can go and meet him in the temple. He's saying God's bigger than the temple. God is bigger than the temple. Hey, the train of God's robe fills the temple. That's how important God is. That's how important God is. And then we talk about the seraphs saying, holy, holy, holy. There are a few different commentaries on this, a few different ideas from people who have studied this far more than I have about what it means for them to say holy, holy, holy. I'll just give you two. One of them is saying that when you say God is holy, that's just saying it. If you say it twice, holy, holy, that sort of emphasizes it. To say holy, holy, holy is sort of like the highest emphasis you can put on it. It's sort of like, you know, when you go infinity plus one type thing. Holy, holy, holy. It's the highest. So there'd be no point in saying God is holy, 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 because once you get to three times, sort of in the writing in the literature of the time, that was saying this is the absolute maximum. The second commentary talks about, well, if God is holy, 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 what do we know about God? We know that God is one God but three persons, and each part of the Trinity, and if you don't know what the Trinity is, talk to your leaders about that. Each part of the Trinity is holy. God is holy, 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 and sits on a throne above all creation. That's what I was going to spend my whole time talking about, the holiness of God. And I suppose I could try and be clever and I could paint some pretty word picture about how holy God is, and I can use another story like my sunrise story to give the idea. But what I felt and what I got distracted on today was tonight, I feel that the message that I need to give you from God is this. In the year King Uzziah died, how many kings can there be?
There can only be one king.
There can only be one king. I believe that I could stand up here and continue to speak, and it wouldn't make a difference, because there are things that have
control over your lives. In this room, there are so many people who have things that are controlling their lives, that they are your King Uzziahs. And quite simply, this is what I was feeling as I was preparing today. You won't see the Lord. You won't see a vision like Isaiah of God and His throne until we get those other things off the throne. You won't see the Lord if those things are still kings in your life. Now, for some of you, that's no big deal. You think, well, I don't even know if I believe in God, so I don't really want to see the Lord in a throne somewhere. That vision doesn't mean much to me. That's okay. Because I think that even if it's got nothing to do about God, I reckon tonight can still be a defining moment in your life. Because I'd hazard a guess that there are things controlling your life. There are kings, powers in your life that are controlling you that you'd prefer if they weren't controlling you. And even if God is not the one to replace those kings, even if it's not giving up those things and having God as your king, I think there's still an opportunity for you to make a decision tonight to leave those things behind that have power over you. For others, perhaps you're following God. Perhaps you come to camp, you go to church, you read your Bible. But for you, when you're listening to me talk about this image of God, or when I relate the story of the sunrise, that's not relating to you in terms of your experience of God. Maybe your experience of God is like that first light before the sun actually rises. And you sort of got to that point and thought, oh yeah, well, this is God. That's interesting. A bit of light there. And you've missed the sunrise. You've missed that passionate vision that we hear about Isaiah having. Well, maybe God's question to you tonight is the question that I ask and you respond to. How many kings can there be? There can only be one king. Are there things in your life that are controlling you, stopping you seeing the full glory of God? Maybe the cry of your heart is to see that throne room. And maybe you've been trying for years to have a vision of that throne room, to have that intimate relationship with God, and for you, it hasn't happened yet. I don't know what those things are. I don't know what those King Uzziahs in your life are. But maybe you need to pray about that. Maybe there is something in there that is controlling your life that is stopping you seeing the Lord. In the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. If you're not seeing the Lord, what king is it in your life? What is controlling your life? How great would it be if you were able to look back on this camp and rather than saying, oh, back at senior teen or down at Phillip Island or in December 2008, but if for you this camp, this week became in the year, whatever it is, lost its control over me. In the year my King Uzziah died and I got to move forwards from that. I don't know what those things are in your life, but I just get a sense that there's lots of them out there. I was praying this afternoon and just had a few things come across my mind. Now, I don't know if these are from God. I don't. Maybe they're just things that I've thought up. But maybe they are. Maybe they're specifically for one person in this whole room. Maybe they're for a number of people. In the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. Maybe for you, tonight is a chance to say, in that year when my addiction to internet pornography died, when that lost its control over me, and some of you laugh, but I have been shocked this year by how great that is a struggle for some teenage boys. I have been blown away. You see, when I was a teenager, we didn't have the internet. So not only did I not have to face that, none of my friends faced that problem. None of my friends had to deal with that. I've seen it ruin so many lives. So some of you may laugh. But if that's something that's got control over your life, maybe tonight can be the night where you say, I'm not going to let it have control anymore. Maybe tonight you can say, that control over my life has died. And maybe that will be the thing that will lead you on to the next part where you see the Lord. I get a sense today that maybe for some girls out there, or maybe for one girl in particular, it's not anything to do with that. It's this. Maybe your phrase is, in the year that I stopped looking in the mirror and telling myself how ugly I was. In the year I stopped doing that, in the year I started looking through God's eyes and saw myself as that bride with that train of my dress, as that beautiful child of God. In the year when my negative self-image had no control over me anymore, then I saw the Lord. Maybe for you it's something completely different. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's just in the year when I stopped worrying so much about what other people thought. In the year when I stopped worrying about how much money I had, or if I was wearing the right clothes, or if I was going to the right things, or if I was doing the right things, if I had the right friends, if I had the best family. Maybe that's what it is for you. In the year I stopped worrying about that stuff and stopped letting it have control over my life, in that year, maybe that's when you go on to see the Lord. How many kings can there be? There can only be one king. If you've got other things controlling your life other than what you want to let control your life, then you won't end up with the destiny you want to end up with. I talked last night about becoming a hero. I talked last night about David and not thinking that you're too young, about leaving baggage behind, about being yourself. Well, the next step is you need to stop letting other things control you, because whatever controls you will determine what your destiny is. Maybe for you, it's a fill in the gap. Maybe it's just fill in the blank. Maybe it's in the year, fill in the blank. Stopped having control over my life, lost its grip on my life. Maybe that's what you can say tonight. In that year, forget the year, in this day, today, you fill in the blank. When it stopped having control over my life, that's when I was able to move forwards. That's when I was able to start to see the first light and the glimpse that there was a sun rising over the horizon. There are things out there that I don't even know about that are controlling you. There can only be one king. You see, we all have things controlling our lives. And we've heard a couple of young guys get up here today and share about their lives and what's been controlling their lives and what's controlling their life now. See, I can stand here happily and say, there's something controlling my life. His name is Jesus Christ. And God is my king. I know who's controlling my life. And because I know who's controlling my life, I know where my life's going. You all know what's controlling your life. Maybe it's some of the things that I mentioned before. Maybe it's something completely different. But if that's controlling your life, if that's having an influence on your life, an influence on where you're going in life, then that's where you'll go. I don't think those things are where you want to go. I don't think, as I will happily bow down, literally, I will happily go on my knees and say that God is the king of my life. There are things controlling your lives that I'm sure you don't want to bow down and say, yes, that is controlling my life. But you know that it is. There can only be one king. And if you're wanting to see the Lord, we need to get rid of the other kings in our lives. If you don't even know if you believe in God, but you want to move forwards in a heroic life, you can't lead a heroic life if the things that are controlling your life are pulling you down. I'm going to pray now in a minute. And maybe as I've been talking tonight, not through my words, but through that conversation that you've been having with God in your head, maybe there are things that have struck a chord with you. Maybe you're ready tonight to say, yeah, there are things controlling my life and I don't want them to control my life anymore. I want to make a stand now. I want to make a stand right now and say, I don't know how to stop these things controlling my life, but I don't want them to control my life anymore. So in a minute, when people bow their heads and close their eyes, I'm just going to ask you to do a simple thing, and that is just to raise your hand and I want to pray for you. Not saying anything big, it's just saying that there are things in control of your life that that you'd like prayer for, that you want to say, I don't want these things to control my life anymore. So let's have heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. And I'll just pray. So if you've been feeling that way tonight, if you've been feeling that there are things in control of your life and you'd like to say, I don't want these things to have control over my life, please raise your hand. Thank you. Wow. Wow. Dear God, help me pray, Lord. Dear God, I just pray to you now as the King, as the Master, as the ruler of my life. You are a God who sets people free. And these are people who want to be set free. There are things in their lives that are controlling them that they don't want to let have control of them anymore. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray wherever they are at in a relationship with you, whether they don't even know if they believe in you or whether they are a passionate follower of you, I pray that you help them now. I pray that you provide people this week who will get alongside them and who will help them, who will help them not have these things controlling them, but will lead them into a future that is better, that is brighter. If they've just been seeing the first light of day, let them see the full sunrise, Lord. Let them be free of whatever is holding them down. Lord, give us as a leadership team the ability and the power through you to help anyone who needs help this week in getting rid of these things that are controlling their lives. Lord, there can be only one King. And I want to proclaim right now that you are that King. And that there is no stronghold in the world that you can't tear down. And maybe, like for Isaiah, Lord, maybe like for Isaiah and the people at the time who had never known anything apart from King Uzziah, and at that point in their lives, it was time for change. Maybe there are some people here tonight who have never known anything different than the lives they've been living, than these things controlling them, and yet tonight, Lord, you step down amongst us, and you say, Lord, that you have the power over those things. No more control. No more control. Setting these people free. Lord, there can be only one King. And you are that King. And I pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I just want to encourage you. Those of you who raised your hands. Wow. Those of you who raised your hands. If you are truly serious about that. How many strongholds can be broken down tonight? How many lives can change from this point on? If you're serious about that, in moving forwards, if you're serious about saying, I'm moving forwards, I'm excited about what can happen for the rest of this week. During the worship before, I checked my watch to check the date to make sure it was only the second day of camp because I couldn't believe it was only the second day of camp. I am excited about what can happen for the rest of this week. Also, one last thing. Please don't leave it here. Don't leave it here in this room about raising your hand and about being prayed for. You have leaders on this camp who are here for one sole purpose. And that is to be whatever they need to be for you. Whether that's to pray for you, to listen to you, to talk to you, to give you advice, whatever it is, they're there for you. Take the opportunity of this week. Take the opportunity of this week. Thanks, Kurt.